Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Getting jiggy with it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Senegal and Morocco are through in the AFCON and Newcastle are on the hunt for more strikers. It's Wednesday, 26th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Eddie Bressel.
That was pathetic.
Not the 26th of January. How are we, everybody? Vitush Nahantaraja is also here. Refused to give his name, of course, having another temper tantrum. It's what we've come to know about the man, sadly. But, you know, his output is just good enough to stay on board.
He asks us for an intro line and decides to dip into our well of hip-hop. And we bring offerings to the table and we put them in the running order. In case you're wondering at home, to all the killers and $100 billers. That was a perfectly normal intro. No cursing in there.
No people killers or $100 billers listen to this show.
And no, but plenty of them are on it.
Yeah, but what is one thing we all want to get? Jiggy with it.
It's too cold to get jiggy with it.
Don't come at me with your, oh, let's have a cool hip-hop line intro. Nonsense, poopy pants. It's the Football Ramble. And it's good to have
you
with us.
It's such a char-char slide, aren't you?
On Wednesday. A wonderful Wednesday. And, oh my goodness, Vish, did you watch the Africa Cup of Nations last night? No diggity, no doubt you did. Senegal beat Cape Verde 2-0 and Morocco beat Malawi 2-1. We'll start with Morocco. My tip for the tournament, Andy. They're looking pretty good. They're through. They beat the Minnows Malawi. It was all about Ashraf Hakimi.
Yes, I'm starting to feel, particularly after another brilliant Hakimi free kick to win the game, that Morocco are the Mob Deep of this tournament and Senegal are the Will Smith of it.
Right.
I think that's where we are at the moment. Uh-huh. Morocco are...
So one everyone's heard of and the other one people are a bit like, who are they? Do you know what I mean? So we'll remember the name Senegal after this tournament?
That's just what you should be taking from it. That's just what you should be taking from it.
Senegal will still be working at the top?
Well, remarkably, of course, Malawi scored one of the goals of the tournament.
I think it's the goal of the tournament. Yeah, and that's quite a bold shout, considering the goal that Comoros scored the other night.
Yeah.
And we've had some belters. That was unbelievable.
Did Bono spoil it by getting a little feather on it with his glove?
Yeah, I don't know, Andy. I don't know. I'm refusing to do any YouTube puns right now.
I'm asking you in terms of, like, what does that do to a goal for you? Like, when the goalkeeper feathers it, does it spoil it? It spoils it for me.
No, it doesn't spoil it for me at all, because considering how far out the Gabardinho Manga was, it was, what, about 40 yards, something like that? and to see the keeper off his line and to put it in that spot.
It's still a sensational goal.
It was.
To see the keeper off his line and drive it rather than float it was wonderful. Or the technique was perfect as well. Do you think there's something... I'm not going to say something up with this ball because I like the way it moves, but do you think there's something about this ball that is more conducive to bangers?
You maybe.
Because even some of the shots we've seen off the woodwork have flown back to the halfway line. I'm thinking of like the Mahrez penalty in the group stages. There was one off the bar yesterday, a couple off the bar yesterday.
Flown back to the halfway line is quite an interesting description.
But they, it has like FIFA movement off the bar.
Yeah, I mean,
and then obviously we've seen a few bangers as well.
There is swaz in it, isn't there?
There's plenty of swaz in it.
I guess the question is, like, you know, could we get one, take it to the park over the road and see what it does for us?
Umbro, if you're listening, please feel free to send us the Togu.
Yes.
Which is the name of the ball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's designed on like Cameroonian traditional dress as well.
Oh,
nice.
And they must have a wonderful time because it's moving like a bastard.
Yeah,
I very much enjoy it.
Moving like a bastard, Andy. But sadly for Malawi, it wasn't enough, of course, because Morocco would come back and win 2-1. And Hakimi, of course, he had another very similar free kick, which the goalkeeper brilliantly saved early on in the game. And then they got the goal. They had their chances, Morocco. They're clearly the better side. But that free kick he did score.
There was more dip on that, wasn't there?
It was... To put it in that place, because when the ball goes in, you might think to yourself, because of the angle, of course, the way he hits it, you might think to the goalkeeper, was it slightly, not in the court, was it sort of slightly central? When you look at that from the right angle, it's I think it was Rosinha on the commentary just said, that is perfection.
It's the swerve and the dip.
You could maybe even argue it's one of the best free kicks you'll see or have seen in recent years, because it's so, so good. And also, to hit it from that angle with that curl, you would probably want someone to hit it with the other foot from there, away from the keeper, going towards the sort of the side of the net.
Your margin for error for a right footer is a lot smaller. Yeah.
To make it that unsavable from that angle is really
totally
something. Did you see Kylian Mbappe afterwards tweeting, best right back in the world?
Is that right?
That was nice. And Hakimi gave him a little quote tweet back saying, je t'aime.
Oh.
With the heart. It's nice to have that bromance to replace.
They love each other.
It's lovely to see that, though, because I have to say the bromance between Hakimi and Jadon Sancho, which obviously came to some sort of halt when the former left Borussia Dortmund. Yeah. I broke my little heart. We need a new bromance. I mean, it's such a promising bromance that I won't even bring up the fact that, well, he's not really a right back, is he? He's a wing back.
Yeah.
Well, do you, with Hakimi, especially some of the positions he was getting into yesterday, and I suppose the positions he's gotten into for Morocco throughout this tournament, there's an element of Cancelo to him as well. And I don't mean that to diminish him. I'm just using it as a frame of reference for football in this country. Mm-hmm. But the way he just overlaps and underlaps at will, and that is so influential in whatever he does.
I think the difference between the two is Hakimi's got goals written all over him. That is the big difference. And that's what separates him from other right backs / right wing backs. Not just that he's a really complete footballer in so many ways. And, you know, he's a step on from a Dani Alves type right back.
Yeah.
And Dani Alves can still defend. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Whereas Hakimi just doesn't really have any pretensions to that. You know, Zidane's
just
like,
not interested.
Zidane said when they made the decision to sell him, I'm totally out on you as a right back in a back four. And he's like, why would I want to be a right back in a back four? That's the thing, really.
Let's talk about Senegal, Vitushan. They beat nine-man Cape Verde 2-0. Sadio Mane scored and then appeared to be briefly knocked out almost 10 minutes before, after a clash with the Cape Verde goalkeeper, which was quite worrying, to say the least.
Yeah, it was really weird. He was completely out. Both he and the goalkeeper, you know, the goalkeeper was taken over to the side, but Mane was like just strewn on the floor.
It's the bit where he sits down, where he gets a bit dizzy and sits down. That's the worrying bit, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, it was a high impact collision with Vozinho when he came right to the edge of his box. It was a very old school Hugo Lloris to the edge of the box, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I understand the sympathy for Vozinho. One, because I mean, I think part of it's informed by the fact that Cape Verde are already down to 10 men. Mm-hmm. But And secondly, because, of course, he's getting sent off while he's quite out of it, sat by the side of the pitch. And it recalled to me a double sending off in Tottenham versus Wimbledon in Wimbledon's first season up, where Graham Roberts was booted by Laurie Sanchez in the leg and he was sent off while he was on a stretcher. And it was difficult to work out what had gone on at the time because they weren't using yellow and red cards. The referee, if he was sending someone off, just pointed to the side of the pitch then and before they brought yellow and red cards back. But so I understand their sympathy, but you can't have goalkeepers making challenges outrageous. Like that.
Yeah.
You can't. And it was the right decision.
Yeah, Mane was he went down after his goal and was immediately taken off, and he was like pictured recovering in hospital. So we shall see. I mean, hopefully.
So who cares about a concussion protocol when you've got a player doing a big thumbs up from his hospital?
Yeah, he must be fine. Yeah, self-diagnosed, exactly. Easy.
Well, some people say he shouldn't play in the next round with that kind of injury, although you would imagine he would.
And in a lot of sports, he wouldn't be allowed to. Mm. But yeah, there's no doubt he'll play, is there?
Yeah. Cape Verde, two red cards. That takes the total in the tournament to 13, which is quite the total. It's the same number of red cards from the previous four tournaments combined.
Can I float something for this? Because I was wondering about it, and they've all been clear red cards.
Do you think?
Yeah, maybe there's
one or two that were questionable.
The Comoros one I thought may be questionable, but in terms of, you know, stepping on the guy's ankle and how it looked on VAR, then I totally understand it. And I think that's actually the point that I want to make here. Do you think it's a bit more that a lot of these players haven't played with VAR and so haven't had to hone their tackling in a certain way that we are starting to see in the Premier League a little bit, I think? And maybe there's even little things like some of the clumsier tackles, which aren't necessarily malicious.
It feels like overcommitment rather than malice.
Exactly,
in a lot of cases,
that.
Doesn't it?
So
you could say that about the first Cape Verde red card.
Yeah,
That is a red card that's probably no one bats an eyelid about it being a yellow if we haven't got a VAR.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
We're not looking at it a couple of times, even though it's justifiable.
Do you think there's something in that then?
Well, yeah, I do.
That's really one point of view. I mean, Michael Essien, former Ghana player, of course, took to Twitter and he said that some of the red cards have been shocking decisions, and he asked the question, is football getting soft?
You see, I love Essien, but once you get to the point where retired players are saying, I think the game's too soft, saying it wouldn't have been a red card in my day is not the same as saying it shouldn't be a red card.
Mm. Yeah,
I think so. I think we have to take a step back from that.
Yeah, I think the interesting point is, Vish, as you say, that most, if not all, were red cards, which just shows you, like, absolutely extraordinary. I mean, and a number have been given through VAR.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is changing the way the game is being played. But there we are. Egypt face Ivory Coast later today, which is a juicy one, despite what Vish says. And you should all watch it.
No, definitely watch it. But it feels like Egypt have been, I suppose, they've been as expected. You know, people who know about them into the tournament were like, this isn't going to be the expansive Egypt of old. Like, there's not as much depth. It's not just Mohamed Salah as his crown jewel. Like, he's the only jewel, really, in the attacking sense.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe they'll come to life a bit more in this time, because they're going to have to, the way Ivory Coast won 3-1 in their previous game against Algeria. Well, there we are. We're looking forward to it, gentlemen. The AFCON games today, and the quarters are all nearly done. Of course, you've got Burkina Faso, Tunisia, which could be an interesting one. Senegal will play Mali or Equatorial Guinea and Gambia against Cameroon. So, lovely old job. Let's go to domestic matters. Roy Hodgson has been confirmed as Watford manager. Incredible stuff. Ray Lewington, of course, who managed Watford from 2002 to 2005, will join him. Wherever Roy is, Ray will be. Roy and Ray, they come as a pair. It's Roy Hodgson's 17th club, his 22nd managerial post, and he can't get enough of it, can he? He never retired after Palace.
He alluded to it, because
I think he would have stayed on had they extended his contract, but they wanted to go in a slightly different direction, and obviously with Vieira they've done that, and it's working at the time of recording, because never say never, but with Hodgson, what is he, 74 now, clearly, and he felt like there's still a bit more in the tank, and it's funny some of the stuff he said about being a manager. He said, you think it would get easier as you get older. He said, no, in fact, if anything, it gets worse. But it's like this kind of words alluded to this kind of drug that you really need and you absolutely love it.
I like the idea.
He probably is actually on medicine, though.
Aren't we all, in a way?
I like the idea of Watford going, you know, relegation avoidance specialist.
Do you know what, Andy?
I like that.
There were Newcastle fans when Bruce was sacked. Or he was sacked, wasn't he? I'm just trying to say.
Certainly wasn't mutual consent.
Yeah. No, the way you looked at me.
Newcastle fans like wake up every morning and go, he's definitely been sacked, hasn't he? He's definitely been sacked.
The way you looked at me made me doubt.
He's turned up with his dog
there.
Again.
When Bruce left the club, you know, he did the right thing.
In a better place. Yeah, I've got to say the full thing.
when Brucey went off to find another bonus, one or two Newcastle fans said, you know what, it wouldn't be the worst thing to get Hodgson in for the rest of the season and make sure they stay up and get a bit of stability, because that's the one thing he would try and do. And obviously they've gone for Eddie Howe. Now, results-wise, I understand there's a bit more excitement around Newcastle, and then we'll talk about them in the second half, a few transfers and so on. But actually, results-wise, it hasn't been that great since Eddie Howe's taken over. It's not been too long, and you would maybe think that they're in a definitely better off with Howe, obviously, in charge than Steve Bruce. But with Hodgson coming in to Watford, Vish, I think that's actually bad news for Newcastle. Because you think about the jobs he's done with, say, Fulham, with Palace, with West Brom. He knows this situation. They doesn't have much time. But I think this is bad news for the other teams around them.
Well, the thing about those teams you've mentioned there is, in terms of players, there isn't really too much crossover, is there? So what he's shown is that he can come into a situation where they're not quite down, but they need someone to certainly someone to take them back the other way.
Yeah.
And he can do it with a group of players. And therefore, you know, that speaks to someone who knows what it takes to operate tactically at that, you know, that part of the table, but also who can come in and assess the wares and think, right, who are the people who are going to get us out of this mess? Mm-hmm. What do we need to do? How do we need to change certain players and stuff like that? So yeah, in that way, it's... Yeah, a very smart move. It's probably the smartest managerial move they've made, Watford, in the Premier League for, you know, a few seasons.
Yeah, for sure.
I am a little bit wary, but I think what I have reminded myself of is the fact that, as you pointed out at the start of this section, that it was by mutual consent that him and Palace parted ways. It wasn't like his managerial capabilities were on the way. And the reason they moved on from each other was because Palace were comfortable and wanted to stretch into the top half of the table and Roy had run his race with that group of players. So, yeah, there's certainly magic in the old dog, surely. And that's probably what they see as well.
And the plus for him is, I guess, 3 weeks ago, they had a defence that definitely wasn't fit for purpose in the Premier League.
Yeah, right.
Whereas now, they've made a few interesting signings. I think you look at Samir, you look at Kamara, and maybe he's got a little something to work with, because that's the part of the team you want him to work on. And you know, you say like international breaks are the perfect time to like change coach. Watford have done this at exactly the right time,
because you've got Premier League break.
Yeah, because you've got this kind of, it's like a de facto winter break for European football because of the South American qualifiers. So to have that time on the training pitch with the players, which we know is where Hodgson excels. I mean, it's a godsend, really. Yeah. If it's going to work, it's going to work now.
Mm.
And yeah, so the next game after the break is against Burnley.
Big.
And then they've got West Ham.
Are we sure that's happening?
Good point. West Ham, Brighton, Aston Villa, Manchester United and Arsenal. So it doesn't get easier after that, but they have a clear marker for the return of something to aim for until it's postponed.
That's right, yeah. But Hodgson, people always going about, oh, the repetitive drills and the players get bored and so on. But for this particular job, those players, they need something. They're looking around them in the league. They've just been beaten.
Yeah, what they'll be bored of at the moment is losing.
Exactly.
They'll be fine with him for 6 months, especially if it gets them out of shtuck.
I agree, Andy. Although he does face potentially an awkward reunion with the Potsers, because back in 2001, he was sacked from Udinese after less than 6 months for saying he regretted joining Udinese, and reportedly called it an extremely strange club, which is something he later denied saying.
I have to say, the idea of there being awkwardness with the Potsers, I mean, they have sacked everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Also, he'd take less than 6 months now, wouldn't he? That would be a success.
What's four till May?
Yeah.
Well, there we are, you see. All right, everybody, we're going to have a quick break. See you in a moment.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Clash of the Titles is the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death as we decide which film does it better. And for the whole of January and February, we're taking film suggestions from you, our listeners.
But he said to me, I was putting on, and because we've done the social network, and he's like, why are you doing all these good films? And I said, oh, well, you know. And then I had to admit that other people pick them, not us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Join me, Alex Zane, with Chris Tilley and Vicky Crompton every Monday and Thursday. Search Clash of the Titles wherever you get your pods.
Hello, I am Sven-Göran Eriksson and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. I mean, come on, Andy. Doesn't it warm your cockles every time? Yes, right. Oh, it's now time for pep talks.
We are so, so happy.
We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for that.
We are so happy.
I'm so happy, believe me.
I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Please! Drink water and relax!
All right, we're all relaxed, everybody. It's Wednesday. It's pep talks time. Vish, fire away, sir.
I have our first pep talk of the day from McCain. Just McCain, with a K as well, not the chips. I come to you for crucial input that no one else in my social support network can provide.
Oh.
I recently set up a first date with someone. I love first dates.
Set one up?
Set up a first date with someone I've been excited to go out with for tomorrow, Thursday evening.
Oh.
However, when checking my schedule to organise this date, I failed to realise that it's the same night and time as a crucial World Cup qualifying match between my beloved United States men's team and El Salvador. While at service level, this may seem a boring predicament, the plot thickens. My potential date wanted to get dinner sometime after 7, when the US game starts, because she has a meeting until 6 p.m. However, she is from Ecuador, and coincidentally, Ecuador will be facing off against Brazil at 4 p.m. in their World Cup qualifying match, thus wrapping up around 6 p.m. Have I been bamboozled into letting her watch her national team while missing out on mine? Should I reschedule the date to ultimately watch the US disappoint me, or should I go to try and uncover the truth?
That's nice, that.
Definitely go on the date, yes. And if she has done that, I think it is clear that she is the one for you.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would totally agree. I think, you know, lying is bad, but lying to start off a relationship is good.
No, she's not lied.
Yeah, but if she is, it's fine.
Yeah, but she hasn't lied.
I think secrets are good.
She has a meeting until 6 p.m.
Well, no, but I mean, she has a meeting.
Yeah.
She might be on another date. You don't know. Doubling up, why not? Yeah, everyone's catching up after the pandemic.
I think yeah. Let's move on swiftly.
No, but I think you should. I think you should go on the date. And I think actually that going to. I always think drinks first is good on a date.
Yes.
So if you're going to have drinks and you find like a nice-ish bar where it's on, you can have it on and you can pay kind of attention to
that's
both.
That's not a good idea.
No, I think it is. I think it is because also you're taking someone into your world and showing them something that you enjoy.
It's very early to take them into that world.
I think, but I don't necessarily think it has to be like, let's go watch the footy.
No,
don't wear face paint.
No.
Wear nice clothes.
But if he's really into it.
Don't do that weird chant, I believe that we will win. Don't do that. Everything else is fine.
There we are. You see, McCain, go on the date, but don't go to a place where it's showing it because you'll be too distracted. But if she has sorted it out so she could watch her beloved Ecuador, as we assume she's a fan of, then that is, as Andy said, she's the one for you.
This is a cliffhanger. I want to know what happened.
Yeah, please email back.
But in the meantime, here's one from Anonymous. I'm living and working in a European city where I'm an English teacher, amongst other things. One of my gigs is teaching employees of a football club whose stadium will host a major final soon. And it turns out that one of my students is project managing ticketing for said final.
Blimey.
I can't really work out how you need help from this point. Anyway, obviously, when I found this out, my priority became using my connection to blag free tickets, but I've yet to be successful. I tried just brazenly asking him, and his reply was to basically go, ha, 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 yeah. That doesn't sound promising. The club in question apparently aren't big in giving out freebies, even to their full-time staff. No, well, none of them are. To make things worse, I could actually teach inside the stadium itself when COVID permits, and I could well find myself on site a few hours before kickoff.
Ooh.
So what should I do? A, lay on thick with him, telling him how much I love football and how much I'd love to see the match and how it'd be really special for me. He's not much of a football fan and grudgingly attends UCL matches for work. B, offer him free English classes in exchange for him letting me in with a nudge and a wink on the night. C, find a good place to hide and then saunter into the exec box looking all confident just before kickoff.
C, because it's good for us and you can let us know how you get on.
Yeah, change into a suit as well while you're in the toilet.
Definitely
not B. Don't offer him something in exchange. You either go A or C.
I think really you need to rotate B a bit. Like, if you could report to like his betters and higher-ups that he's not doing very well and it might negatively affect his job. Threaten him? Yeah, threaten him. Say, if you don't get me a ticket, like I'm gonna tell everyone that you're doing really your higher ups that you're doing really badly in these English lessons and the bottom's gonna fall out of your job.
I think bullying is not a good idea, Andy.
No, I do, yeah.
It's blackmail.
Threaten his future, but his life in a non
threaten his life or his future
in a non-killy way.
I see what I've done here. I've started off with such a low bar that Vicious thought, how can I take this lower?
No, don't hurt him, but threaten him with the idea that his life will be worthless if he doesn't give you a ticket.
I think that's bad advice, Mr. Anonymous.
No, do it. Anonymous,
and you know that
it.
As well.
Are you saying just steal off him?
No, I think lay it on thick. Just say, how much do you love football? And, a friend of mine's going to that match. He was meant to get me a ticket, but he never. So now I'm not friends with him.
But the thing is, the kid could throw it back in your face, couldn't he?
And
be like, well, what are you going to do for me?
Well, that's maybe when you need to action plan B.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of hiding and then sauntering into the exec box.
Yeah, that's good.
That's really that.
And also, there are so many hangers on.
Sorry, one at a time.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say that will work for like a minute.
Yeah, what a minute though, Andy.
But there are so many hangers on at these UEFA events.
That's true.
That I think you might be all right.
You need to steal a lanyard though. That's what you need to
do. Yeah. Oh, lanyard, good.
Yeah.
Oh, he can get you a lanyard.
There we are. You see.
Job's brilliant. And you don't have to threaten his life.
No.
Winner.
Steal his lanyard.
Indeed. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble if you've got any questions for us, and send them in when we're doing pep talks on a Wednesday. Lovely. Lovely. Right then, gentlemen, let's talk sort of transfers and movements in the transfer markets and potential players going here, there and everywhere. If I may, let's get some Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang admin out the way. It said that he's been training alone away from the first team For Arsenal, of course, he may well not join the warm weather training camp in Dubai.
Just to underline, they're inviting Jack Wilshere, but not one of their contracted players.
Also, as we saw before the start of AFCON, Aubameyang loves Dubai. They're rubbing it in his face, aren't they?
Well, maybe it's a mutual thing. Maybe he's been I've been recently.
Oh,
I'm
maybe
right.
Yeah. Are you there again? Oh, again? No, I've never been.
If we were going to Marbella, I'd be in.
Yeah, but, maybe that's yeah.
What do you think? Are there going to be any takers on Aubameyang, Andy? I mean, he's not as young as he was. He's still got a bit of quality, but he's discipline reasons. Sometimes people are a bit standoffish on him.
I'd sign him.
Would you?
Well, if I was a bottom half of the Premier League team, I would snap him up in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yeah.
You think he'd be... Well, A, would he want to be in that situation? Or B, given what we've seen from him over the last 12 months, do you think he has an appetite for any kind of graft like that?
I think that in January, you have to take a punt. And I think the risk-reward is weighted in just about the right direction. I mean, it's a gamble because you're paying absolutely enormous wages. But if you can get him going again, you know, he's a great goal scorer.
Mm. Well, Emmanuel Adebayor stuck his oar in, and he said on Sky recently, with regards to Aubameyang and being sort of frozen out, he said, "That's Arsenal for you. They never know how to forgive."
So are we imagining...
I'm just picturing in my head of Adebayo running towards those Arsenal fans at the Etihad.
See, I'm imagining Aubameyang in like 2 months' time doing a triple backflip in front of those those fans as he scores for his new team.
I wish would have happened there is that the interviewer then asked Emmanuel Adebayo, "Well, rate your other clubs that you played for on their forgiveness ability." And he was like, "Real Madrid, very forgiving. Very forgiving. Tottenham Hotspur, known for being forgiving."
Yes.
You know, just to sort of go through them all, which would have been quite enjoyable. After months of speculation, though, Dusan Vlahovic is not going to Arsenal. Juventus have struck a €75 million deal with him. Well, that's beautiful, isn't it, Andy? Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, it's the romance of football out there.
Look, he's just helping an old lady, cross the street.
Is that more romantic than Messi going to PSG?
That's a tough one, actually. That's a really tough one. Ask Fiorentina fans. They love nothing better than losing one of their best players to Juventus.
Yes.
They've already attached a big banner to the side of the stadium.
I mean, people really do hate this. I don't think maybe Manchester United back in the day... You know, like Alan Smith going from Leeds to Manchester United, maybe that sort of slight
I suppose that's
kind of comparable.
Yeah.
But you remember one of the ultimate ones was Higuain going from Napoli to Juventus.
Yes,
because you can understand if you go to Juventus, you're going to win trophies.
Yeah,
a bit like Grealish going to Man City, you're going to win trophies, you're going to play European football. But the rest of the country hates it.
This is different because there's something particular between Fiorentina and Juventus.
Isn't there something particular with everybody in Juventus though?
No, but this has lasted 40 years, and remember. When in 1990, just before the World Cup, they sold Roberto Baggio and Fiorentina fans spent like 3 days smashing the city up.
And that's a beautiful city. Don't smash that up.
No, exactly.
Don't smash up any city, by the way.
At least stop for a steak in between.
Yes, and some gelato to finish.
Yeah, for a little bit of extra energy.
Recommendation.
But they've ended up in recent years, of course, Bernardeschi, Chiesa, selling quite a few players over to Juventus. And in this situation... That's why Arsenal had hope, because Fiorentina always wanted to sell this window. And I think it's a smart move from them, because here's a guy who they're getting paid a fortune for. Admittedly, he's excellent, but he's got 18 months left on his contract. They're never selling him for more than this. And they've not let their hearts get the better of their heads, which is good.
Well, moving from Arsenal to Newcastle United, but staying with the striker chat, they've apparently agreed terms with Atalanta's Duvan Zapata. It's believed that they're offering him £100,000 a week. He's only on £30,000 in Italy. That is a statement of intent, Vish, isn't it? And this would be a good signing.
It would be, yeah. So what, he's got 9 goals in Serie A this season and been like a consistent, teen goal scorer.
Used to playing fluid, attacking, easy on the eye football.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is this the sexy football back?
I think it is. It must be, surely.
Uh-huh. Him and Chris Wood up top.
Do you think Chris Wood's still going to play?
Sexy football, mate. Demands him.
Do you think Zapata will rock up to training with Chris Wood and be like, him? He's the other one, is he?
What, like, so he flicks it and then I run after
him? Yeah, but he's going to be on the pitch as well, is he?
they're a couple of tough guys. They'd be like the T-Birds. It'd be great.
Just like the T-Birds. But Zapata would be a good signer for Newcastle, Andy.
Yeah, he really would be. I also have to say, I'm not convinced it will happen, because I would say...
Well, they've agreed terms with the player.
Or his entourage, where I think if you're agreeing terms with a player's representatives, if you're Newcastle, is probably the easiest thing in the world. Especially someone of that age who's looking for a last big contract.
Why do you think they're offering him 100 grand when he's on 30? Why not offer him 60 or 70? Well, I understand they want to just like end the conversation. Just come on, come over here, son.
Well, because when you arrive and then you realise that Kieran Trippier is being paid twice what you are, you've got a bit of an issue, haven't you?
So they're just making sure that he turns up and he's happy and the job's
done. Yeah, they've set a certain level of wages, and they're going to have to set a certain level of wages if they want to get players who are significantly better than what they've got at the moment. I think getting the club to buy is the difficult bit, because what you're thinking, I think they're doing the right thing. They're going the right way about it. If they're looking at players like of the age of Diego Carlos and Duvan Zapata, who's still very good players, who've still got plenty in the tank, but are maybe looking at a last huge contract. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way to do it. And I guess the way they're doing it, and they've not got the sophisticated transfer negotiation network that they would like, or even a director of football that they would like at the moment. But I think it's quite a tried and tested thing, isn't it? Offer the player a fortune, get him to put pressure on the club. That's the way to do it. So it'd be interesting to see how it develops in the next couple of days. I'm not convinced they'll get him. Mm-hmm. I'm not even convinced they'll get Diego Carlos, because before I was pretty sure I was pretty sure that was going to happen. But they're offering so much short of what Sevilla want, and Sevilla are difficult to strong arm in this sort of negotiation.
And Sevilla are well aware of the money Newcastle now have.
Yeah, well, that's the way it's been like presented on the Sevilla side. They're like, the minute you spend that money on Chris Wood, you're not fobbing us off with like, you know, £5 more. It's just not going to happen. So they're in a position where they're going to have to pay over the odds. They've always known that. I just don't understand why they don't just get on with it, really. They will end up with some players, not necessarily these players, but they'll definitely end up with some players before the end of Monday.
Interesting. Talking of Sevilla-vish, Anthony Martial has joined them on loan.
Yeah.
For Manchester United for the rest of the season. Are you sad to see Anthony go?
You know what, I am. Yeah. If you think about when he signed for United in 2015, there was a bit of unrest at the club under Louis van Gaal about a lack of ambition and things like that. And he was a kind of one shot in the arm in terms of the money he came for, the fact that we were getting this Thierry Henry prototype. And it's quite sad it hasn't worked out, because we've seen flashes of what he could be. I would say before Jadon Sancho arrived, of United's options out wide, of the very similar players around him, such as Marcus Rashford and Mason Greenwood, he was undoubtedly the most talented. And he was the one who could play not just through the middle, but probably his best work from the left. And I think, maybe anecdotally, because of how I remember it, but it feels like his best periods for Manchester United came when Lukaku was through the middle and he could go for a little wander down the left. He's not particularly diligent defensively, but he was such a good finisher and certainly the best ball carrier that United had from out wide. And yeah, I'm quite sad to see him go, because it felt like it was... Oh, actually, you know, I'm conflicted. I'm sad to see him go because I really liked watching him as a player, certainly when he was on form. But also I feel like he's spent too much time at this Barclays of a club.
But don't you think that there's a possibility of him going back? He definitely is going.
It's only a loan move, Vish.
And no, with no option to buy as well.
But I think for his sake, although he has broken back into the France squad, which was certainly a blip at the start of his career, and people wondering if his intermittent form for United, at club level, was affecting that. But I think for his sake, he probably should move on. Yeah. Even beyond the summer, but I mean, if it works out, and if he's rejuvenated in Spain and comes back, and United are happy to keep him, work with him, I'd be all over that as well.
Or they can sell him for a fortune if he has 4 good months.
There we are. I did quite like that Sevilla tweeted that they'd signed a luxury reinforcement and a special gift for the fans. Andy, have you ever been described as a luxury reinforcement?
I wouldn't. That sounds a bit insulting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I wouldn't be wanting to be described as a luxury.
I would take that. I would take
describe me as that, and I'll see how I feel about it.
You luxurious bastard, Bristol.
That felt good.
It did, yeah. And Vish,
I got called an average maverick once, and I was like, oh, I'll take that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good. Well, speaking of such, have you heard that Mario Balotelli's been recalled to the Italy squad?
Yes.
How about that? For the first time in more than 3 years. Now, you might be thinking, well, what on earth is this? The international break isn't for a little while yet. Well, he's a part of a two-day training camp at the end of this month as Italy prepare for their crucial World Cup playoffs in March. And, of course, Mancini is the man in charge. We know that him and Balotelli have had this lovely relationship for many, many years with Federico Chiesa out, long-term injury, one or two other reasons. Super Mario is back, and he's playing in Turkey, not for one of the big clubs there.
Adana Demirspor, and they're in fourth place in the league.
Well, there we are.
Off the back off the back of him not just scoring goals, but putting in a shift for the team and doing his bit on the bench and in the dressing room.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's 31 now, and I think he said himself, you know, if you should be being called up to the squad regularly if you're sort of 31 and you're playing well. And I the sounds that were coming from him seemed quite good, Vish. Seemed quite promising. You know, it sounded like he was ready to do a shift, that he's been brought in from the company. Obviously, he loves Mancini. He says, you know, I'll do, you know, whatever is asked of me, despite, you know, one or two fallouts they've had many, many years ago now.
Is he... I mean, I don't want to use this word at hand, but is he maturing?
That has been the suggestion.
Whisper it.
In Turkey.
Just
because,
whisper it.
I mean, the Turkish Super League is super physical and people have pulled all sorts of strokes to try and wind him up. And he's still not been sent off yet.
Wow.
Which is, I think you have to say, very impressive. Benjamin Stambouli, his teammate, who of course used to play for Watford and Spurs, he actually said that Balotelli has been pressing.
My goodness.
I know.
Get him in.
I mean, that's a big claim, isn't it?
Newcastle, if you're listening, bring him back.
Well, Vincenzo Montella is the coach of that side.
That definitely
which
helps.
Has made a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the
helps.
Previous coach said something like, on the pitch, he's an issue, and off the pitch, he's an issue. But Montella
and Balotelli can turn around and go, I got you sacked after five games.
Yeah, exactly. Oi, there's your consistency that you always ask for. So there we are. Well, we look forward to hopefully seeing him in an Italy shirt in a month or two's time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed this show, please leave us a review. If you haven't spotted it, then you can give us a little star rating on Spotify now. We will love you for it. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Jim and Andy's back to talk about those footballs for you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you for Tushin Hantaraj.
Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.